This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They're very clear.
Oh, we lose Gene?
I figured this out yet. What? Yes.
Gene, all right, Gene.
Gene, we're losing.
We got to let you go.
Gene.
We.
Call back.
Sorry, Gene. Gene had a. I turned my mic off because he was. I wanted to hear what he said.
Thanks, Gene.
Gene, your phone wasn't great, so.
Yeah.
Feel free to call back.
All good. We weren't hearing Gene, but we also weren't hearing you. So I was trying to let you.
So you were solo.
I was trying to jump
in. Little isolation.
I was trying to jump in.
Little John Dickinson. Just give it to him on the wing and let him go to work.
Yeah, I'm more of a mid-post guy.
Yeah.
If you're going to give it to me.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So I the one thing I want to hear with Gene is who was disrespectful? Was it the...
Yeah, that was nobody.
No, but did he think somebody was? One of the reporters?
Well, yeah, and they were badgering him. Who was saying that was the other thing. Nobody was badgering Kevin Durant.
Well, you know, the one thing, and you can speak to this better than me at this point, Kevin Durant is not getting asked every day about free agency.
No, by the local media.
No.
It tends to be... When he gets asked about stuff like that is... When things pop up in the news, as like, i.e., the Knicks trade last week. Kristaps Porzingis gets traded to Dallas. The Knicks are clearing the deck for a couple of max slots. And then it's, being speculated that, Durant's camp maybe wanted that to happen because they'd rather have a salary slot open than to play with Kristaps Porzingis. So that's something in some way that would get asked about.
Did Isola tell us on the air what he thought would be really funny?
Yes.
Would be if Durant signs with Dallas.
Yeah, because he wants to play with Porzingis. And we ran that back about 90 minutes ago or so.
That's pretty funny.
And it's pretty funny.
That's
also not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. You don't think so.
You want to give Gene another chance?
Of course.
Let's give Gene another chance in Oakland here on 95.7 The Game. Gene, who was badgering Kevin Durant?
I just think the media constantly asking him about the free agency is a form of badgering. Look, the guy, I truly believe, does not know at this point what he wants to do. I think he's uncertain. I think that makes him uncomfortable to begin with. It's in the back of his mind, but when he says he just wants to focus on basketball, I think he truly means it. But then he gets all these silly questions, Yeah, sure. I mean, he's open to anything. When they say his camp has indicated interest in the Knicks, well, yeah, I'm sure they said something like, yeah, we'll consider it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll consider everything. But the whole notion of just constantly going after him, I think it just boiled over for the guy. I mean, really, he's an honorable man. He's lived a wonderful life. I mean, he needs all the respect, and consideration he deserves. And I just don't think it's very considerate to continually... badger the guy about something he's just not prepared to talk about right now.
Thanks, Gene.
That's my point.
Thanks, Gene. How about this? Let me throw this at you. So apparently Durant stopped talking right around the Porzingis trade, right?
Yeah, although, again, it was 3 days before that in reality.
But he addressed that the other night, that clearly was something that he was either avoiding or didn't want to deal with. What would have been wrong with... continuing your routine, and the first time you hear that question about New York, then you give the answer, I don't know nothing about New York.
Stop
I don't know nothing
about
Porzingis. I don't know what you guys want out of me. But had he done that
a week ago,
then it'd be done. Well, it's done now probably too. But you know what I mean? I mean, then it wouldn't have built up. That's the one thing I wondered. How come he just didn't say, come out and say, I don't know nothing about New York. Come on, guys. Come on. Like, why can't he do that?
Well, that's what I come back to in this whole thing is the fact that you don't have to, the media doesn't have to like the answer that he gives. He just has
right.
to be up there to give it.
Right. I mean, the other thing is, you don't have to be a jerk when you say no. Hey, whether you're in public or not.
You can if you want to be.
Well, sure. Yeah, and obviously he was because he was frustrated. But, I mean, at some point, maybe the way to do it is, hey, Ken, what do you think about free? Dude, come on now. Like, he kind of did it to Bill Simmons in that podcast where he's like, really, man? Really? Well, that's the way you got to do it when Durant's sitting in a room with Rich Kleiman. But when he's in a big group, or I'm sorry, Bill Simmons, a one-on-one, you're not going to be a jerk to him.
And Rich Kleiman was there, too.
Yeah, he was. So I get it. I understand it. I don't necessarily think one side was right and one side was wrong.
Dave in San Leandro, you're on 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors this week. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to get you guys' feedback in terms of Ethan Strauss. To me, you know, he writes an article basically saying that KD was pissed because he expected to be the number one player, blah, blah, blah. Okay, is that his opinion? Did he get confirmation from someone that that's the case? Because I don't recall seeing any sources in that. And then he has the nerve after the incident with Durant to basically say that he went into the locker room and talked to all the Warrior players and everybody found it hilarious. Really? What do they find hilarious? KD being annoyed? Really? They're laughing at him? I mean, I don't know. I just don't. The guy's rubbing me the wrong way, and then he comes out and he's saying that he's going to come out with the Warrior book and whatnot. I mean, good luck with that. I just think that KD had a right to stand up to this guy, you know, especially since he's trying to paint a story which may not necessarily be true.
Thanks a lot for the call, Dave. Here's what I would say. When Ethan Sherwood Strauss said, I went into the locker room and they thought it was hilarious, I took it, and I know Ethan a little bit, I took it to mean the players thought it was hilarious that KD called him out. Not that the whole thing was hilarious about Kevin Durant getting mad at the media.
Right.
I do not think they were laughing at Kevin Durant getting mad at the media. They were saying like, well, dude, hey.
He got you.
You write that stuff. You write that stuff.
He's coming down your road.
Right. You know, that's what he meant. I think I can safely say, rather than, oh, dude, KD's such a fool. What an
yeah, wasn't that.
What a tool. It was not that. You know, the bottom line, here's the other thing that's an issue. Not an issue, but that has to be thrown into the equation. Ethan Sherwood Strauss got laid off about a year ago from ESPN, and Steve Kerr made a point to tell the media how much of a joke he thought that was, because that Ethan Sherwood Strauss was one of the talented writers in the media, that he was bright, articulate, passionate, all those things. So Steve Kerr is on the record for saying this guy Ethan Sherwood Strauss is legit. So that's something that's got to be thrown in there too.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, look, he's a pretty clever writer.
He's a great writer,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he's agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's connected enough to be able to form an opinion.
Yes.
And that's what it was. Like, it was his take, you know, based on, I mean, educated speculation is something that, you know, gets thrown around a lot. I think it's more than educated speculation.
Right. Well, let me ask you.
But at the end of the day, it's his take.
Essentially, is he a columnist?
Yeah.
Let's say yes. Okay, so.
Like, he wasn't necessarily reporting that,
right.
Although he did say, you know, industry, I don't have the exact quote in front of me. I don't have the article right in front of me. But it was, you know, people in the industry or people in the league think he's gone, which is something you've said.
Right.
I mean, that's something a lot of people have said.
So what if I were a columnist, which essentially I am. I just talk out my thing and I basically say, you know what, I got a question for you and the listener when we come back.
All right. That and more of your phone calls as Warriors This Week rolls on. We'll have Tim Bontemps too on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
888-957-9570.
I could fall into that group, too.
Yeah.
And I don't. And I realized I didn't really want to.
Right.
Or
Which
shouldn't.
Makes sense.
Shouldn't at this point.
Yeah.
There you go.
10:18.
Matt Simons and John Dickinson bringing a personal conversation onto the air.
Just briefly.
Very briefly.
But alas, we move on.
By the way, we're only going till 12 today because we started at 8. Admit it. Admit it. You guys, you missed our 8 o'clock hour, didn't you? Admit it, guys out there. You did, didn't you? Because you thought we were coming on at 9.
It's the best prep hour in San Francisco radio that's actually done on the air.
That's right. So we're going to get out of here at 12 today.
You want to take Chuck? Let's take Chuck in Concord, and then you want to get everybody riled up again, and then we're going to talk to Tim Bontemps. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, you know, I'm a longtime Warrior fan. I've been ticket holders in the 80s and 90s and so on. But, you know, anyway, I'm not right now. But I look at it as to say, Kevin Durant, he knew from the beginning of the season that the Warriors are the only team that can pay him the most money.
Correct.
And the possibility of winning him multiple championships. But he signed this one-on-one and hinges on whether he's staying or leaving. And then he complains that people question him about it and trying to question what is what's in his mind. Why? If he's so, he's been here a couple of years, and he's so sold on the Bay Area, he wants to get into business, blah, 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 blah. And then he causes commotion about where is he going to play. Who started it? Kevin Durant. Who wanted all this? Who started all this blue rah? Kevin Durant. He won't answer straightforward questions. He won't put anything to bed. And he started it before the season began. That's why Draymond Green is pissed. Because he's a lifer. He feels like he's a lifer for the Warriors. And he's working hard to get the Warriors multiple championships. And he feels devoted. And when he's hearing Kevin Durant come up with all of this stuff and he's distracting the team from what the team is setting out to do, and because Kevin Durant is the problem. You know, if I was to pick Draymond Green, I feel is like more valuable to the Warriors than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant can do all of this stuff and stuff, but I'm tired of his bandwagon and his sulking, and he's been doing it over his career. And, you know...
No, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it,
Chuck.
I mean, that's one point of view out there. I mean, it just is. Now, here's the funny thing. Is Chuck said, let me tell you, Draymond knows Durant might be up out of here. Draymond's a lifer. That's why Draymond isn't that what Kevin Durant can't stand? What the caller just said?
100%.
And I don't think that's wrong for the caller to want to share that. And the caller may be right. Like, let me ask you this. If I write a column tomorrow, here's how I start. I'm going to write a story. And it says something like this. Let me tell you what I think. Kevin Durant's gone. Here's why he's gone. I think Kevin Durant can't stand Draymond Green. I think Kevin Durant wants the ultimate challenge of going to New York and trying to put that franchise on his back. I think Kevin Durant... isn't challenged here anymore. All I'm saying is this is what I think. I mean, was Strauss's article ambiguous that way? I find that hard to believe.
No, there was more to it than
But there's clearly stuff like whispers or talk around the building. That's something that, if you worked for the New York Times 20 years ago, you'd probably be A. But we're not in that. We're not in that.
Well, and as Durant said when he went off on Wednesday, he said, you know, Ethan doesn't talk to anybody.
But he doesn't know that.
That's true, but that's his view of it.
Right. No, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
And you know how that is. I mean, you can have the perception that you're not talking to anybody, but that doesn't mean you're not talking to anybody.
Exactly.
Because most of the time, you're not talking to people where everybody can see it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, there's a difference between showing up at a practice and asking Durant questions and,
and hitting him up on his phone.
And having a conversation with somebody within the organization on the phone or at dinner or whatever.
Right. No doubt.
I mean, there's a total difference there. Charles in San Jose, as we keep it moving on the phone lines on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Charles.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you for having me. You know, it's amazing to me how everyone has an opinion, and it's good. You know, your opinions are fine. But let's just keep it real. Kevin Durant comes to work every day, and he gets out on that floor, and he performs every day as a constant professional. And what we have to do as fans, I think, is sit back and relax and understand the entire business. Because if you look at it from the owner's perspective, these owners trade players without letting them know. Harrison Barnes gets traded during the game. So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of working parts that go into this. But the fact of the matter is that Kevin Durant's play has not went down. He has been a constant professional. Let him do his thing. It's a business. Come July 1st or whenever, if he decides to leave, then he leaves. But he's given us everything we've asked him to do or wanted him to do as fans. Give the dude a break. Let him play basketball and leave him alone.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let me ask you this, JD. I brought up this hypothetical, which some people don't like. Let's say you're a writer in Philly, okay?
And I'm with you.
And Elton Brand's the GM there. And you're talking to Elton Brand about free agency and stuff like this. And it is even off the record. And you start talking about the league, and the reporter says to Elton Brand, what do you think about Durant? And Elton Brand says, well, Durant's gone. He's leaving Golden State. How do you know? That's the word around the league. Don't write that, but I mean, that's what everybody thinks.
Or don't write that I said it.
Exactly. Or more likely, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say write it or don't write it. And then that turns into word around the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so is it inaccurate?
And what if
No.
you get four or five GMs that do that?
Exactly.
Then it's league sources believe.
Right. Exactly.
Multiple league sources believe Kevin Durant is gonzo.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
well, I think explaining the inner workings of that is important because I think a lot of fans don't understand how a lot of that comes about.
I would agree with that.
I think a lot of media don't understand.
You might be right. You know, I mean, listen, when I was covering the team, I always tried to be clear about that. I mean, if I went up to a player and started talking, my personal rule was at the time, if I didn't have a notebook and wasn't writing down or a tape recorder, then it was off the record. I'm just, hey, what's up? What's up, Aaron? How you doing? Hey, what's up, man? What's up? You know, whatever. Oh, man, I don't feel like practicing today. My back's killing me. I'm going to go anyway. Oh, Baron Davis fought. No, who cares? That kind of thing. Now, if I'm writing in a notebook,
right?
They of course know it's on the record.
If you're sitting in his chair, just back to him, you know.
You know how many times? I bet you if I had a dollar for every time I said to a player coach, can I write that? Probably a couple thousand dollars extra. And let me tell you, 95% of the time it was no. And then so you're on to Cincinnati and you just move on. But see, that's a dilemma that writers have. And I get it. You hear something. Oh, don't write that. You hear it again. And then you go back to the first guy and like, I've heard this two other places.
I got to write it.
Yeah. So.
All right, write it.
Yeah, go ahead and write. Just don't use my name.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, but then it's like, then you can really play the whole game where somebody says, oh, Durant's out of there. You wait a day or two, nothing happens. You go back and say, man, I've been hearing that around the league. I'm telling you, two or three. Then you lie about, okay, go ahead and write it. Well, now it's only one guy.
Nick in Berkeley. Nick, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, man, like Kevin Garnett and Marbury and LeBron and Wiggins, and a lot of these cats didn't get along with each other. Barkley and all kinds of people. And Rodman didn't like probably half his team anyways. But you know what? If Kevin Durant wants to leave, man, kick rocks. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll get somebody else for you. Because the ownership group and the Warriors, we'll just rebound right back, and we'll have somebody right in his grill. And it might be LeBron. It might be Draymond Green guarding him one day. So, I mean, if he don't like it, so, man, kick rocks. This is Bay Area. we love the Bay Area, and we love the Bay Area athletes. So if he feel all alienated, he wants to be a social media hawk, man, that's on him, man. You know what I mean? For real.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And I think the other thing that we've learned in the last, well, since Joe Lacob took over, this organization's bigger than a player at this point.
Yeah, there's a, I would say, a less than vocal small minority that believe what we've had a couple of calls say. Like, there's a portion of
like
Warriors.
Like, hit the pike if you don't want to be.
There's a portion of Warriors fans that are like, you ain't one of us.
Right. I know. There are.
Like,
there are.
Like Curry and Clay and Draymond, obviously. You want to get one more before we get to bond temps?
Sure.
John in San Francisco on 95.7 The Game. Hey, John.
It's like a deja vu. When he was in Oklahoma, exactly this is was the toxic environment. Kevin Durant, wherever he goes, it's always toxic environment. Why are we feeling sorry about the guy who is making $30 million and he's feeling hurt because one of the media guys asked him a question, which is, in my opinion, is doing his job? Why are we feeling sorry about him? If he doesn't like it, let him go and play in Turkey. If he doesn't like the fame, let him go play in Turkey or be an average player. So no one would follow him. Or, you know what? Let him get his skinny ass out of the Bay Area then. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. John's fired up.
I tell you what. I bet he could be a pretty good player in Turkey. I got to believe he'd be the MVP favorite in Turkey if he went there, yeah.
He'd be pretty damn good.
But there it is. Some people do think that.
Tim Bontemps of ESPN joins us, as he does each and every week here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good, fellas. It sounds like I missed an interesting call.
You really did. Yeah, you really did.
We brought up how there is a small percentage of Warrior fans that are saying, you know what, Kevin Durant, if you don't want to be here, beat it. Kick rocks.
Oh, of course. Yeah. There are. I mean, anytime there's any discussion about a player potentially not wanting to be in a place anymore, that's, you know, there's always a segment of the fan base that does that.
Especially
with a team like the Warriors, where if you can, you know, it's one thing if it's, you know, a team where you have one or two guys, and like if they leave, you know, like say the Pelicans, Anthony Davis, right? Or if you have the Warriors where you have, you know, in theory, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green still around after that, and you won a championship with them before, you say, oh yeah, we can win without him anyway, even though obviously what doing so would be pretty hard.
Tim, let's start with the trade deadline. It has come and gone, and I'm looking at Milwaukee getting better and the Philadelphia 76ers getting better, obviously adding Tobias Harris. Mirotić goes to Milwaukee. Marc Gasol goes to the Raptors. You know, Steiny and I have kind of been on the Celtics are going to get it together, and we think they're the best team in the East when it's all said and done. As what those other three teams did, how big of a game changer is that for all of those teams basically going all in to try and get to the finals this season?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, I was texting with an executive last night who said the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be the best 2 weeks of the season, and I think they're right. Like, it's just going to be an absolute war between those four teams. Because in my opinion, you know, the Warriors, as I've said on the show before, I thought before the deadline, you know, before this past week, I thought the Warriors were the best team in the league and that those four teams atop the East were the next four best in some order. And I think this week has only reinforced that. And you mentioned, you know, the moves that Milwaukee, Toronto, and Philly all made. They all got significantly better. And the Celtics, you know, the Celtics probably have the highest floor and the lowest ceiling of those teams, where I think you kind of know what the Celtics are, and it's a matter of, are they going to be able to execute the way they need to? And it's Gordon Hayward going to get right, as we talked about before, but I just can't wait for those two, the conference semis and the conference finals, because they're just going to be three just absolutely awesome series, irregardless of, you know, which of those four teams advance.
The one move that I think, to me, after I've given it a little time to think, and I've come to the conclusion I'm going to try not to overthink it. Marc Gasol to the Toronto Raptors. I mean, this is they've got, as far as I'm concerned now, two superstars. They've gone from a kind of a fringe superstar in DeRozan, in my mind, to two legitimate big time stars. Was there any thought there that getting Gasol could somehow impact Kawhi's future?
I mean, I'm not sure if it will or not, but certainly you have to say that the Raptors are trying to go all in to get to the finals this year, right? And I think that's their hope. If they get to the finals, that would probably be the best way to convince this guy to stay. And I think I'm probably a little lower in Gasol at this point than you. He's probably not quite the same player he was a couple of years ago, but still, you know, basically giving up a second round pick in terms of, you know, they move on from Valanciunas, who's nice, but Gasol's better. CJ Miles, who wasn't really playing for them, and their third point guard, DeLon Wright, who's a nice player, but he's also a 27-year-old backup guard. Plus a second-round pick to get Marc Gasol, you know, it's definitely an upgrade. Now, they have to figure some stuff out in terms of who they're going to play, how they're going to play. Their best lineups have been with Serge Ibaka at center. Are they going to go away from that? Are they going to, are they going to potentially have Danny Green come off the bench? You know, is Mark going to be okay coming off the bench? I mean, there's a lot of stuff for Nick Nurse to sort out, but there's no question from a talent standpoint, they got a lot better. And the one thing they lacked the last few weeks of Valanciunas hurt when he, ever since he dislocated his thumb playing the Warriors a couple months ago, is, a bruiser inside that can protect the rim and do some stuff for them. And Mark is certainly going to provide that. He's also going to give them some really good passing at the five spot. They can wrestle stuff through him at the high post, with the elbows. I mean, he's a really nice piece. And, again, you go through, Milwaukee, Philly, and the Raptors all added a really significant piece. And, it just reinforces how good the top of the East is. And I think those teams are dramatically better than anybody the Warriors are going to face before the final.
Tim, let me ask you about Tobias Harris. You know, for the course of his career, I've always been thinking, yeah, he's all right. Oh, he's all right. If he's your best player, you're not that good. Even if he's your second best player, but he might be Philly's fourth best player. And without getting into that argument, you start thinking, man, Tobias Harris, if he's your fourth best player, now you got something. Why has he been traded five times in his career?
Well, I mean, you go back. I mean, I don't really count the draft night thing, right? So, like, let's set that aside.
Okay.
So he gets Scott Skiles decided he wanted a veteran, so he gets shipped out of Orlando in a ridiculous trade, frankly.
What was that one? Remind me.
I believe they traded, I want to say it was Ersan Ilyasova. Brandon Jennings, I think, was involved. I can't remember the exact
trade. Gotcha.
It was a couple of veteran players for Tobias Harris. You know what it was? It was J.J. Redick, ironically enough, for Tobias Harris is what it was. They got J.J. Redick as a he might have been going the other way. I don't remember.
Sure.
Regardless, they traded for a veteran and gave up on Tobias early on because Scott Skiles, who then quit like 2 weeks later, decided he wanted a vet. That trade from the beginning, people didn't think made much sense. And then, look, he gets traded for Blake Griffin last year, which I think you can understand.
Sure.
And in this deal, Philly traded for him, looking at him as a guy who's going to be here a long time. Like, I think if they say he's not going to trade again anytime soon, he's going to sign my guess would be a 5-year max deal this summer. And look, I think to your point, whether he's your third best player or Jimmy Butler's your third best player or Ben Simmons is your third best player, or however you rank those guys,
right.
If J.J. Redick is your fifth best player, like, you're really good. And, look, I think, you look at that lineup they're rolling out there: Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and Joel Embiid. That's a lineup that, in my opinion, could arguably be as good as Golden State. And I think you put it right in the same conversation with them. Which, let's be honest, there hasn't been a team in the last 2 years, or really 3 years, since Kevin Durant showed up that you could even say remotely had as good of a lineup. And you go down through that list. Those are, J.J. Redick is, maybe not quite an all-star level player. The other four guys have all made all-star teams. They all fit together really well. They're long. They're athletic. They can do a lot of different things at both ends of the court. They to me now, when I said that the Celtics, I think, have the lowest ceiling of these teams in the East, to me, Philly has the highest ceiling of any team in the league now outside of Golden State. I just think, obviously their bench is not very good. They have to make this work in season, which is always tricky. There's a lot of stuff they have to sort out, but when you just look at that talent and the way it fits together potentially, I understand they gave up a lot for a guy who's, on a expiring contract, but they're going to keep Tobias, I think, pretty clearly. And you look at them going forward, and to me, they've just got a chance to be awfully, awfully good. If you guys saw that game last night against Denver, I know Denver is missing a couple guys, but, when those guys were out there, they had a net rating of, I think, 35. They outscored the Nuggets by 14 in 17 minutes. They played together. I mean, they could do whatever they wanted. last night, and it was an awfully impressive debut.
Yeah, it really was. And I guess my question is, and last night's a pretty good, you know, testament to maybe they can get it together, but it's something you mentioned as far as, is there enough time to really get it dialed, you know, for this season? Because that was kind of my concern with them as far as Jimmy Butler. How great can it be as far as a championship level this season?
Yep.
They're off to a pretty darn good start with that, and it sounds like you'd make them the favorite at this point in the East. Is that fair, or you still lean maybe Toronto or Milwaukee?
I'm not sure who I would make the favorite because, you know, honestly, I have to really watch these teams more, and I have to watch them play each other more.
Yeah, they're all different now, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. I'm going to be at Sixers Celtics here in Philly on Tuesday. I'm really excited to watch that game, so that's going to be one of the first tests of these teams going head-to-head. And you know, the funny thing about these teams in the East is that it's all kind of a game of rock, paper, scissors, where different teams match up really well against other teams. Like, Milwaukee has really played well against Toronto this year, and they also have really struggled against Boston. And I think those matchups in the playoffs could very well just come down to how the seeds break down and who is playing against who, because certain teams have certain advantages that structurally they might not be able to overcome. But yeah, I mean, Philly, I just look at those five guys, and to me, like, they just have a little bit of everything. And, you know, like, for example, when Philly played Boston, and generally when they played against the elite teams in the league, how they would play would generally come down to how well Wilson Chandler played, right? Like, in the Christmas Day game that went to overtime in the first half, Chandler, I think, had 3 points, and Boston really controlled the game early. And in the second half and overtime, I think he combined to have 12 points and 4 or 5 assists, and you know, he was really the difference that allowed Philly to get back in the game and arguably should have won it if not for some Kyrie shots late. Well, now you go from Wilson Chandler in that spot to Tobias Harris in that spot, who is just vastly better player at both ends of the court. You know, I think he's an underrated defender. He's shooting 44% from three. He's going to get wide open looks all over the place on this team. He can put the ball on the floor. He can run pick and roll. I mean, he can do pretty much anything you want at the power forward spot. You know, look, again, like you said, there's a lot to sort out. There's a lot of fit issues. There's, you know, they have to try to make this work on the fly, which is always tough. But just in terms of raw talent, I mean, yeah, you look at that team and, like, if they can get it together, which is a big if, you know, I think they've just got a real chance to be a special team. But look, we haven't even talked about Milwaukee. They had Nikola Mirotic, and they have a net rating, I think, in terms of point differential of over 10.
Yeah.
Which is something like
– it's 10-3. Like, it's 10-3 right now.
Right. Which is like the 96 Bulls, the 86 Celtics, the Warriors from a couple years ago, right? Like, that's like, if you do that, you're like an all-time great team. And, like, nobody's even talking about them, and they might have the MVP of the league on their team. So, I mean, again, just the East is just so good at the top that, you know, I think, you know, to me, the funny thing about the Western Conference this year is everybody walked in thinking, oh, man, there's going to be 10, 11, 12 really good teams out West, right? And I almost think it's ironically kind of been the reverse, where there's like one great team and then there's like 10 solid teams, slash mediocre teams. And so, like, 2 to 11, you can kind of throw them up in the air. Like, I was watching Denver last night and I'm thinking, if the Lakers can somehow get to the 7 seed,
right,
I don't think they're, you know, who's going to pick Denver to beat them? And, like, there were a couple executives from other teams I was texting with that saying, like, yeah, we would be pretty happy if we can get Denver in the first round of the playoffs. And Denver's a 37 win team. So it's kind of funny how it's broken down. But, yeah, I think the days of saying that the Eastern Conference is the JV league and not nearly as good are long gone, because, to me, whoever the Warriors get in the finals is going to be a challenge for them, and it's going to be easily their hardest series, I think, in the entire playoffs.
Is it fair to say each of those four teams are getting better, too? Not just for the rest of the year. I mean, like, 2-3 years down the line, will they be able to keep climbing?
I think so. I mean, Toronto is a little iffy with that, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi and Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol are older. But at the same time, like, let's say the Knicks get Kevin Durant in a few months and, you know, either a top pick or they sign another top free agent, you know, they're going to be a really good team. You look at, you know, Milwaukee is certainly not going anywhere anytime soon with Giannis Antetokounmpo being like 23 years old. You know, the Celtics should be good for a long time. They're probably the favorites to get Anthony Davis. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if Toronto gets Kawhi Leonard, they're going to be really good for a long time too. So, you know, even if you want to set them aside, I mean, you've got some young teams. You've got Atlanta, who I think is going to be really good, you know, especially if they could maybe get a Zion Williamson in the draft. You know, so there's a lot of talent in the East. And, you know, especially at the top, I think you look at those three or four teams leading the conference and, you know, I think it is safe to say that, you know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. And like you said, you could make the argument that, especially in Philly's case with Simmons and Embiid and Harris at minimum, you know, we'll see what happens with Butler. And with the Celtics getting their guys, I mean, those teams are set up to be good for 5 years or more. So, yeah, I think it's a new day for the league. And frankly, it's a good thing for the league when you talk about teams like the Celtics and the Sixers and maybe the Knicks, you know, being great teams again. Think of how good a place the league has been in with Cleveland in the finals last years and Miami in the finals last year. If you start having Boston and Philly and, you know, major markets like that back in the mix again, I think it's only a good thing for the direction the league is going in.
Tim, thanks a lot as always. Great stuff. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, fellas. See you soon.
All right. Tim Bontemps of ESPN all over those teams. I mean, and boy, I mean, how great are those playoffs going to be in the second round?
He's right. They're going to be good.
Going to be fantastic. And then the Warriors may be waiting in the back end. So we'll see who is able to get through it. Well, 888-957-9570. We'll reopen up the phone lines for you. We've also got Tim Roy coming up as it's JD and Steiny Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz with you until noon here on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We're talking a lot of Golden State Warriors. Warriors at 39-15, three games to go before the All-Star break. Miami tomorrow at Oracle Arena, and then the Jazz are in on Tuesday. Warriors go to Portland Wednesday, and then that'll be it. No games for a week, as the NBA now giving teams a lengthier break as they gear up for the home stretch of the season, which will begin on February 21st for the Warriors.
There wasn't a lot of talk about the game itself last night. The Warriors won 117-107 win over the Suns, but there was an interesting scene in the fourth quarter when the Warriors coaches were huddling during a timeout. DeMarcus Cousins walked into the huddle among the coaches and basically said, "Don't take me out of this game. Come on, don't take me out of this game." He had a smile on his face, but apparently he did talk Steve Kerr into letting him play longer.
Another two minutes, maybe?
Yeah, two or three, who knows. But what'd you make of that? Harmless?
Harmless, but I think wherever there's a joke, there's a hint of truth, right?
Right.
You know, and sometimes people will make jokes, ah, ha, 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 you know. You make your joke about something, but you're really sending a message that says, I want to be playing more. And I think DeMarcus Cousins he's used that joke four, five, six times.
Right, that's true.
About, you know, butting heads with Kerr and the minutes restriction and the trading staff and wanting to do more. And he's done it with a smile, and I don't think he's legitimately been angry about it in any of the time that we've seen him discuss it. But I do think there's a hint of truth to he wants to be playing 30, 33 minutes a game right now and feels he's capable of doing it.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he, if you look at his career, he's about a 34, 35 minute a game player. And I realize he's coming off an Achilles injury, but I also realize that he probably thinks that's behind him right now and he wants to get back to being DeMarcus Cousins. If you had to put a percentage on him right now, JD, what would you put? What would the number be?
80? 75? Yeah.
75? Hey, let me ask you this.
I don't know. 78?
75 of what he used to be or 75 of what he might be in the future? Or you're saying the future's ceiling would be getting back to where he was?
Yeah. I think he's about 77, 78% of what he was.
Because he's the thing, you brought this up last night and we talked about it. His biggest problem right now seems to be scoring in the low post.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have, I don't know what it is. It's everything. He doesn't quite have the lift. He doesn't quite have the fitness. His dexterity's not quite there yet. I think probably his strength isn't where it's going to be in four months. So one of the things I found is his interior shots they don't look as comfortable as his interior shots used to look when he was in his prime. And Is that to be expected? Of course. Will he get that back entirely? Well, that I don't know. We don't know that. But I think all in all, he's played 9 games now. I'd give him a solid B. He's been good.
He's been good. And better than expected, I think, is probably another way to put it. But I still think it's part timing, part just not having his mind and the physical part of his body working together the right way. And I think he's in a spot right now where he feels the way to get that back is to play more, to just stay out there.
Right, exactly.
To just stay out there until I get it right. Keep hammering away at that rock until it breaks. You know, that kind of a mentality. So I think that's where you get some of the jokes, and I think that's where you get some of the, all right, I want to be out there, I'm done with this, minutes restriction and the like.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, the question we always have, and we haven't figured it out yet, is, you know, what's going to happen that first close game with DeMarcus Cousins? Now, he hasn't been on the floor down the stretch of a game, but they really haven't had a high-stakes game. And frankly, they're probably, for example, they could play, let's say they play, they could play Utah Tuesday and Portland Wednesday. Both games could come down to the last 2 minutes. One game Cousins could play, the other game Iguodala, I should say, one game Cousins could finish, one game Iguodala could finish. And Steve Kerr comes out after the Portland game and says, yeah, I'm going to try a couple different things down the stretch of games. Yeah, I know, we lost the last two. Maybe I made the wrong choice each night. You know what I mean? That's the luxury the Warriors have. They can experiment for another month. See what's best. See what works. What does Cousins give you in crunch time compared with what Iguodala gives you in crunch time? These are the things that Steve Kerr is going to have to figure out.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy is going to join us at 11:30, rather, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, as he returned from Phoenix last night, and the Warriors, of course, will take on Miami tomorrow. Dwayne Wade tomorrow, the final game at Oracle Arena for Dwayne Wade in his career, and you got to think the Warriors are going to have something special planned for Dwayne Wade during the game. And, you know, I would imagine Warriors fans would really give Wade a nice ovation once the Warriors acknowledge him tomorrow.
Yeah, you start to think about those players. Dallas doesn't come in here anymore, right?
Dallas is back one
more time.
Okay,
so they'll do something for Nowitzki. They'll do something for Wade. Nowitzki will get a standing ovation. I would assume Dwayne Wade will get a standing ovation, even though Dwayne Wade and the Warriors don't really have a history. I mean, Dwayne Wade was just another player against the Warriors, right? We're not talking about he was a James Harden or anything like that. How about this one? Their last year in the NBA, they come through Oracle Arena. Here comes LeBron James. You booing him or you cheering him? Here comes Russell Westbrook. Last game against the Warriors in his career. Do you boo him? Do you cheer him? What about James Harden? Do you think they all get cheers in their last game?
I think it's too early to tell.
Or Kyrie Irving. What's Kyrie Irving get?
I think Kyrie Irving would get a warmer reception than LeBron? Any of those other guys.
Do you really?
I really do.
You don't think?
I think Kyrie's just the guy that hit a big shot against the Warriors.
But if you're a LeBron, it's kind of funny. It works like this. If you're a Warrior fan and you can't stand LeBron, the first thing you'll always do is, LeBron didn't even hit the big shot. It was Kyrie. It was Kyrie. It was Kyrie. Well, if it was Kyrie, why don't you hate him? why don't you hate Kyrie? He put the dagger in.
Well, because Kyrie never, like, there just isn't the back and forth
right. That
there's been, you know, or that. I think Curry's a big part of it. Because Warriors fans are as protective of Stephen Curry as their own children,
right?
I think, at times. And Curry has had these rivalries, if you will, as Curry raised his game to an MVP, multiple MVP, Hall of Fame level, right? So Curry had this rivalry. Originally, it was Chris Paul, right?
Yes.
There's the Chris Paul-Curry rivalry. There's the Harden-Curry rivalry. There's the Westbrook-Curry rivalry. And then Durant leaves Westbrook for Curry, and they want to play together. And they win championships. So Curry can win a championship with Durant when Westbrook couldn't win a championship with Durant. So I think then it comes down to the LeBron-Curry rivalry as the best players on each team. And the fact that LeBron's won three rings. Oh, by the way, Stephen Curry's won three rings.
Right.
He's won as many championships now as LeBron James has. So I think it's the rivalry with the Warriors. It's the fact that the Warriors have won more than these other players. But I also think it stems from Stephen Curry and the rivalry individually that he's had with different players.
And just having a little fun, going the other way, Steph Curry's playing his last game in Cleveland. Standing ovation?
Yes.
Klay Thompson playing his last game in Cleveland. Standing ovation?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, no.
And you know what's coming next. Draymond Green.
Well, those are different. That's a different ilk.
Why?
I mean, James Worthy didn't get standing ovations in other buildings, did he?
Well, LeBron, I mean, Draymond's different. Draymond is a villain.
No, that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying
is he
what
won't
I'm saying
be
is
honored.
Klay Thompson ain't having a
I got
tour.
You. Yeah, I got you.
Curry might. Durant might. But Klay Thompson ain't getting a tour. Draymond Green ain't getting a tour.
Nah, but you know what?
You know, the tours are Nowitzki and Vince Carter and
there's
Wade.
No doubt. There's a difference between a tour and honoring somebody. Guys get honored all the time. Anybody who gets traded now gets put on the board.
Yeah, Klay wouldn't be honored in Cleveland. Draymond wouldn't be honored in Cleveland.
You don't think?
No.
The Warriors play the Cleveland Cavaliers in March of Draymond's final season.
And he's still with the Warriors?
No. Well, of course not. I wonder, I guess they probably wouldn't even do anything. But I don't know.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. It's Warriors This Week. JD and Steiny with you. Final hour here from San Francisco as the Warriors will continue their pre-All-Star break portion of the schedule tomorrow against Miami. We do open up the phone lines at 888-957-9570. We'll get to a call in a second, but go ahead, Matt.
Should we tell the listener what's kind of going on here with Bryce Harper and stuff?
Is there something going on?
Well, there seems to be some people thinking that Bryce Harper might be signed by the Giants today. So if so,
has that been reported anywhere?
I don't know.
Okay.
You can't.
No, never know. But you never know.
It seems like, do you feel a buzz?
Not really, honestly.
Antonio in Oakland, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, I think as far as, like, who will get booed and stuff, I don't think the Warrior fans would boo, like, Westbrook and Harden. As much as they agitate us, maybe, like, 20% of the building. But, like, LeBron, oh, no, that's 110% of the building. You know, everybody would be booing him. That's kind of like, I don't know, I guess the equivalent of, like, let's say, you know, Earl Thomas, you know, coming back to the Niners or something, you know, to come play his final game or whatever, or something like that, like, Kyrie, I don't see them booing him because he doesn't really agitate us like that. I mean, he had that one shot, but like even to this day, he hit the game winning shot on us. But I don't even dislike him. You know, I respect his game. You know, one guy we all dislike is LeBron out here. You know, some Westbrook, some Harden, but it's small dislike to me as far as those two guys go.
See, I think Antonio, if you polled Warriors fans, I think there'd be more Hardens and Westbrooks than LeBrons.
In terms of booing?
In terms of just, like, dislike. Like, if you were going to rank them.
I would, okay, you know what?
You want to throw that out there?
Yeah.
We're going to throw, all right, thanks, Antonio. We're going to throw that out there.
I think it goes, in terms of most disliked or hated.
Chris Paul's on the list. He's dropped.
See, I think it's LeBron, Harden, Westbrook, Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Now.
888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. If you're a Warriors fan out there, we want your hated player rankings for Warrior opponents.
And you know what? You could get specific, or you could try to put together a little team.
Give me your top. Yeah, give me your three. Give me your five. However you want to do it.
I got LeBron. I got Harden. I got Westbrook. I'll put Chris Paul there. And then if you had to, well, who's going to round out that five?
Yeah, who's the fifth?
Who's the fifth?
That's tough.
That is tough. How about who would be the fifth most disliked Warriors opponent? Well, I get, you have to look, I'd say first and foremost, you got to look in the Western Conference. So let me see what we got here. Nuggets don't really have anybody. Oklahoma City, Paul George, James Harden. Now, you know, Rudy Gobert? Rudy Gobert, not really. I mean, it's tough to round.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.